Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Romans 10, verse 11 to 18. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. And for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world.
Thank you, praises. Let's bow our heads in prayer, everybody. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to come around your word, which ignites faith in us. And I pray for the igniting of faith in our hearts and in our lives as we hear from you and hear your word tonight. Lord, we make room for you to move mightily in this place in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. So glad you would join us tonight. So good to see you here and so good to see you guys online. We're going through this series in the book of Romans, going through the whole book of Romans, and we've been going through it through most of the year, and the series is called Grace Changes Everything, and we're in chapter 10 today, and I'm going to be going through most of chapter 10, highlighting some of the things that we've already read earlier, but the title of my message today is, How Will They Hear? How Will They Hear? Let me ask you this question, everybody, right at the top. Have you ever been the last to hear news? Has anybody here been the last one to hear the latest news? Like everybody else heard about it before you did. I remember this 20 years ago. I know I look 19, but 20 years ago, I was actually in a prayer meeting at about 6 in the morning, and I walked into the prayer meeting, and this shows how not really new a Christian I was, actually, because I was more interested that a new album came out from Jay-Z called The Blueprint that day. But I found out that same day that 9/11 happened 20 years ago, and I walked into the prayer meeting, and I was wondering why everyone was praying for New York City and praying for the United States, and I went up to my pastor quietly, and I said, excuse me, pastor, have I missed something? Did something happen in New York? And everybody in the prayer meeting saw me asking him and looked at me like, oh, duh. Like, it's 6 a.m., come on, give a brother a break, I gotta sleep, man, you know? So I just woke up and rolled over to the prayer meeting, and apparently everybody had been up all night praying and fasting for New York City and knew about it before I did, but I felt like I was the last to hear that news. Have any of you been there before? Maybe it wasn't 9/11, but you heard the news after everybody else. I was just talking to a friend earlier this week in Singapore, and they were saying that they went on a 3-month break from social media, only to come back to social media 2 weeks ago and find out that so much had happened within that 3 months. They heard it because they're passionate about world justice and heard about what was happening in Afghanistan and Haiti over that period of time. And so it was a nice break, but then they also realized that they'd missed out on a lot of news. How many of you know, like, a lot of the news is not good anyway? It's pretty bad news, stuff that's happening around the world, right? I've shared this before, but I think it's important to see the power of how news embeds itself on our minds. You know, like if you've actually studied and looked at the components that make up a television and you leave a television on for lengthy periods of time on a certain channel, like let's say a Fox channel or a CNN or a MSNBC or a Channel News Asia or Al Jazeera, whatever, BBC, whatever that channel is, you'll notice that most of the time the icon of whatever that news channel is on a corner somewhere. And if you just leave it playing, right, because it stays on that corner, it shows that, like, when you, after a period of time, when you turn that television off, it burns a specific kind of icon into the corner of the TV because it's been there for so long. It's been lit up on your OLED or whatever type of TV that you have on your screen. And that's the same effect that often news can have in your life. If the news that you constantly keep around you is bad news, it can obviously leave an impression upon your mind and your heart. And so we start where we left off last week. Many of you will remember last week we ended on the first verse of chapter 10, and it starts like this. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Now, Paul is the writer of this scripture. Paul is an apostle, meaning that he's a sent one from God. And he writes the scripture to the church at Rome. He writes this whole book to the church at Rome. And the church of Rome consists of two groups of people. And I really want to encourage you to take note of all of this that I'm about to show you, because this will obviously bear fruit in your own life if you'll just follow me. So there's two groups of people there. You've got the Israelites, who are the Jewish believers, and then you've got the Gentile believers. Most of them are Greek by ethnicity. And so the people of Israel had heard a lot about Jesus. They'd had a 2,000-year head start on the Greeks. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But what Paul is saying here is that I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Meaning that the people of Israel, he's talking about the people of Israel here, they have a zeal about what they believe, but not in the way that we would have them understand their belief. Why is this? Verse 3 will explain to us. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. What the scripture is saying here is that they pursue a self-righteousness rather than the righteousness of God. Now, this self-righteousness means that you can attain some sort of form of spirituality or spiritual freedom by earning it through your own righteousness and your own efforts, which is completely contrary to the gospel, right? Because it can't be earned. We understand that. And then the next verse says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Christ is the end. Christ is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament. Now, I think it's important to realize this because what a lot of the Israelite believers, unfortunately, would anchor their faith in was that they were Israelites and that they had a form of righteousness, a self-righteousness that could be attained by their own efforts. So can you imagine this, all right? Just a few decades before this, a guy by the name of Jesus, you might have heard of him, he actually preaches this sermon in Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7. This is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And right at the right in the middle of the sermon, the 20th verse of chapter 5, he says this, and notice, like a lot of the people that are listening to his sermon are Jewish, and some of them are what you call Pharisees or scribes. So they write down, they know the law, they know the Old Testament inside out. And so they're listening to this Jesus, kind of like, wonder what he's on about. And he says this to them, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never, ever enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, can you imagine that, right? Imagine you're a scribe, or imagine you're a Pharisee. You know the Bible inside out, and you are listening to him say this. He says, you need to be even more righteous than the scribes and the Pharisees. How many of you know that they might feel a certain way hearing this from Jesus? Like a bit, little bit offended. And then for everybody else who's not a scribe or a Pharisee, right, they're hearing this and they're like, oh, I thought these guys were the righteous guys and we'll never be like them. So if that's the standard and you have to be even higher than that standard, well, we might as well throw in the towel because we have no hope. We have no way to be saved. Little did they know that they were listening to the one who was the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by him. What he's trying to highlight here is that the Israelites, even in Jesus' time, the Israelites were trying to attain their own righteousness through their own efforts. He's like, that ain't happening. How many of us see this sometimes in our own lives or around with the people around us? Again, you might have a friend, maybe not you, but you might have a friend, battles with trying to earn and prove your righteousness through your behavior. Now, last week, we read this scripture talking about the Israelites. Check this out. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs from their own race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. Now, let's remind ourselves from last week about the Israelites. Okay, number one, they are what? They are adopted. Okay, they're adopted by God. They're brought into right relationship through God. In the Old Testament, God chose them as his people. Number two, God chose them to bring him glory. God chose the Israelites. And so for 2,000 years before the time of Christ, they lived in this lineage of understanding that they are the chosen people. Thirdly, there are covenants. There's a covenantal relationship that they entered into, meaning that the promise of deliverance was given to the people of Israel. The giving of the law. You remember the Ten Commandments were given to the people of Israel and all that we read about in Exodus and Deuteronomy. The worship. So they were given the opportunity to worship. And all the promises. You realize there's over 7,000 promises in the whole Bible. It was available to the Israelites. The patriarchs. The patriarchs means that the forefathers of the Jewish faith. So that's your Abraham, your Isaac, and your Jacob. They were all, guess what, ethnicity they were. They were Jewish. They were Israelites, right? And the Savior of the universe, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, again, you may have heard of him. Guess what ethnicity he is? He's Jewish, right? He's Israelite. So all of these gifts, the law, the prophets, the worship, and the Psalms, all that you read about through generations was given to the Israelites as a gift. And they were the chosen people of God. And still they don't believe. In fact, if you go to Israel today, you'll see that for the most part, they still don't believe that Christianity or messianic Christianity in Israel is still a very small minority of the population of Israel. They're still waiting for their Savior to come back when we know he has already come in the person of Jesus. But here's the thing. We read that and we may easily think, oh man, these Jewish people, man, they've been given all of this. And how underappreciative they must be because they've been given all of this. Well, here's the thing. If we are on the other side of Jesus' life historically, guess what? We are now also Israelites ourselves. We are also Jewish. Now, that does, you know, some of you might look at me like, oh, I checked my passport, Pastor Nelly. I am still Australian. Or I am still a New Zealander. I still have my Pilipinas passport, diba? I still have my whatever passport you have. No, I'm talking about spiritually. You have been made one who inherits. I mean, we can look at the scripture that we looked at last week from Galatians 3. Again, same author writing to the church at Galatia. He writes, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Anybody in here put on Christ? Yeah? Are you in Christ tonight? So check this out. This is the promise. "Then there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. There is no blues nor maroons, Android or iPhone. You are all one in Christ Jesus." That's hard to say. "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs," not heirs, "heirs, according to the promise." What does that mean? You are Abraham's offspring. Why is that important? Abraham had a son. Yell out his name, somebody. Isaac, right? And Isaac had a son. What was his name, his offspring? Jacob. What was Jacob's other name? Israel, kind of like the nation of Israel because Israel flowed from him. Guess what? You are an Israelite. And we'll read about this even further in the same chapter. But it's kind of like this. So when we look at this fact that we are now also Israelites, we must look at the scripture the same way. Not just they are Israelites, but guess what? You are Israelites. If you're a believer in Jesus, you must understand that to you belongs the adoption. You have been adopted in Christ. To you belongs the glory of God that is lived out in you and through you, that others around you may see the glory of God in your life, and that through you the covenants are made. How many of you know we are under a new covenant because of the cross of Jesus? And the empty tomb, he's alive. We have a new promise. The giving of the law has been given to us. We get to worship him. We don't got to worship him. I know that's bad English, but you all know what I'm saying. We don't got to worship him. We get to worship him. It's an opportunity. It's a privilege for us to worship him. We have the over 7,000 promises in scripture. We're just saying, he's a man of his word. He's not a man that he should lie. Every promise is yes and amen. To us also belong the patriarchs, the tradition of Abraham, who according to, remember we read this in Romans 4, is the father of our faith. Isaac and Jacob, who are from our race, right? Now our race is not Israelite, our race is human, because we're all made in his image now. And also we have Christ. We also have Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever, amen. Just so you know, it talks about Christ being God forever, amen. I just want to point that out, deity of Christ, just in case certain people come knocking at your door. There's one for you. Okay, but what shall it say? What does it say? Turn to somebody, tell them, what does it say? What does it say? Do you know what it says? What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a powerful promise there. We're going to unpack that in just a minute. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. You see, when we talk about the word being near them, what we're talking about is there's 2,000 years of godly deposit of the word with the Israelites. Guess how long it's been since Jesus was around? Roughly 2,000 years too for us. But notice there's this pairing that happens, right? It's not just believing in your heart, but it's confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's a confession that happens. We'll explain and we'll ask ourselves what that confession means too. But notice this too. If we carry on reading, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Turn to somebody, encourage somebody with that. Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Have you ever been in that situation where you believed God for a promise or believed that God will come through on his word? And somebody, you got those naysayers around you, they're kind of like, yeah, I'm not sure if God's going to come through. That's the way they talk, right? I'm not sure if God's going to come through. But everybody who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is, read this again, no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call him. Paul again is saying to the church at Rome, guess what? We are all children of God. He is Lord of all, Jew and Gentile, every single one of us. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Again, can you imagine how jarring that must have been? Because the Israelites have always thought that they were the chosen people, and they were the chosen people, but God is opening it up at this point and saying it's not just the Jews that the gospel is for, but it's also for the Greeks. It's also for every ethnicity around the world because they've all been made in the image of God. Can you imagine how the Israelites must have felt? Must have been like, oh, ew. Ew, I don't want them here. Ew. Everyone. Like when they heard that word, everyone, I mean, ew, everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, that word calling is also used in the word confession. They have the same root word. This confession, the Greek word is homologia, and in the Greek, and it literally means this, to publicly declare or speak the same or to agree, which means that your life agrees with your declaration. This confession is different to usher's confession, right? This is my confession. That's different kind of confession. What he's saying here is that your life should line up with what you declare. So if you believe in your heart, you should actually declare with your mouth. Your actions should back up your heart. A lot of people, they say they have a heart. after God, but their confession is silent. I don't want to tell people about Jesus because I just don't want to offend people. So, you know, when Easter comes around, I'm going to make a hot cross bun batch, you know, and just, you know, just back it up. And this is my evangelism, guys. I'm going to put the hot cross bun, there for my office mate. Just put it there, and hopefully the cross will jump off the bun and into their heart, you know, because that's my evangelism. No, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. So on one side of the spectrum, we have these silent evangelists that don't confess with their mouths. On the other side, we have people that confess with their mouth, but their heart is just not compassionate. You need to follow Jesus. Just angry, like lemon evangelists. Look like being sucking on lemons the whole week. You need to follow Jesus. Don't get me started on their vaccine beliefs. Just like, kill the beast, like Beauty and the Beast. You know, like, we need to get saved. So on one side, you got the silent evangelists who don't even speak up with their faith. And then you got the ones who speak up with their faith, but their heart's not changed. No, it's both, right? You believe in your heart changes. Then you confess with your mouth, and your mouth is a lot more compassionate. Your health and your mouth. You speak words of love and truth. You speak the truth in love. Some of y'all are still tripping up that I mentioned the vaccine. Come on, get over it. Let's move. How then? Okay, this is where we start meddling a little bit. Because before this verse, it was safe to be a Christian. It was safe to be a follower of Jesus. I just like my little cute faith, you know. Just as long as I have my bumper sticker from Coorong on the back of my car, I'm good. Honk if you love Jesus. Honk, honk. Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord. Check it out. Think about people at work, okay? Think about people in your family that have no idea who Jesus is. Or they have an idea who Jesus is and they've been burnt by church. They've been burnt by wanting to attend or even come into a gathering like this because of experiences that they've had, some of them legitimate, where they've actually experienced a lot of pain under leadership or alongside other Christians that have been burnt by certain experiences. Think about them as I read for you this passage, okay? Because there's a reason why God's put them in your life if you're a follower of Jesus here. And if you're a person here who's not yet following Jesus, hey man, welcome. You're in the best place you can be to hear this. This verse says, how then will they call on him? Okay, how will they confess him in whom they have not believed? Well, they don't deserve to believe. No. How are they to believe in him when they have not never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Let me break that down one more time, okay? How are those people that I asked you to think about, people around you that don't yet know Jesus, don't yet walk with Jesus? How then will they call on him in whom they have not yet believed, right? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So you got those who don't believe. How are they going to believe unless they hear about this Jesus? And how will they hear about Jesus unless somebody tells them about Jesus? You know, a lot of people are waiting at the rapture bus stop for Jesus to come back when Matthew 25 is actually quite clear. He ain't coming back until everybody in the nations, like every nation, has the opportunity to hear the gospel. But how will they believe unless they hear? And how will they hear unless somebody preaches to them? Well, Pastor Nelly, that's why I invite them to church, so that you or somebody else on a stage with lights on it can tell them about Jesus so I don't have to do it. You know, I'll just throw my little coins in the offering and hopefully that'll tip the preacher so you can do what you do, preacher man. But guess what? I'm not in your friends' lives. You are. You are called to be a light to the world. You are called to be the preacher. And that doesn't mean I walk around with a pulpit or a mic stand with me everywhere I go. Like I walk around, you know, going everywhere. Hi, everybody. Welcome. I'm Nelly. And, I've come here to the cafeteria at lunch to tell you about Jesus. You know, I don't go everywhere with a pulpit or a mic stand. You know, I don't even do that in real life, just in case you're all wondering. just in case y'all are wondering, can I have a Big Mac with a, I don't go to McDonald's like that. But like there are people in your lives, brothers and sisters, who've never had the opportunity to fully experience the gospel unless you speak up and tell them about him. Now, I'm not, again, the reason why I bring up carrying a pulpit is some people think, well, I'm not a skilled preacher. I'm not like you, Nelly, who studied this or been doing this for multiple years. I'm not like you. I don't have a big mouth like you. And that's okay. But those people that are around you will never have the opportunity to read the Bible. And you're the only Bible that they're going to read. But if you don't crack your life open so that they can turn the pages and find Jesus in your life, then how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless you're sent? And how, the next verse says, how are they to preach unless they're sent? Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a follower of Jesus in this room tonight, I'm here as your pastor to send you to Logan, to Brisbane, to Moreton Bay, to Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast, to Ipswich. You're to be the light in those places. I mean, let's get it while we can before we get locked down again. Then we can use Zoom. But all I'm saying is that you are in those people's lives for a reason. And that reason is to bring the gospel. And that's why Paul goes on to share, and he quotes Isaiah 52, verse 7. You can check it out later. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you got good-looking feet. Not in a freaky way, but just you know, keep it holy, right? You have beautiful feet because they were made to preach the good news. It's not like, you know, it's not like the people that brought the good news, like they showed up and like this holy manicure from heaven, a pedicure happened, right? Just descended from a cloud and all of a sudden they knew new cuticles and just glistening. And I don't know what a pedicure feels like. It's been a while. But like, you know what I'm saying? It's not beauty in that sense. But if you have been brought the best news ever that affects and changes your life, how many of you know that you are glad for the person who brings that news to you that their feet carried that message to you? And so that's the reasoning behind why this verse exists. Because in the time of Isaiah, he is writing in the latter part of Isaiah during the exile. And they were in exile in Babylon. They were being held captive there. But the good news that was being brought by Isaiah is that one day they will return out of exile and go back to Israel. Guess what? Like if I'm hearing that news, I'm probably really excited about that, right? Like praise God, because I know he's a man of his word and he's true to his promise that one day we will be delivered. If he said it, I believe it. And because that news is being brought to me by your feet, woo, how beautiful are your feet. Are those some Jordan 1s or what? You know, like, how beautiful are the feet of those who deliver the good news. Trust me, brothers and sisters, people need to hear. If there was ever a time in our lifetime during this pandemic, people need to hear the hope message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus. But how will they hear unless we preach? And how will we preach unless you're sent? Tonight, as your pastor, I commission you to be sent. We are all to be sent. We are all to bring the glory of God to those who are around us. Even that guy, Pastor Nelly, yes, even that guy. The people that are around us have been brought into our lives. And even though they do your head in, I don't want to tell them about Jesus. That's exactly the way the Israelites felt. Do you realize, Paul, that these people persecuted us? Why should I bring the gospel to them? Can I just drop something in your spirit? I believe the Holy Spirit's just giving me right now. Some of you, God is highlighting your parents to tell them about the faith change in your life. Respectfully, don't go up to them and especially don't use my name. Go up to them. Yeah, Pastor Nelly told me you don't know Jesus. You need to hear about Jesus. He told me to tell you. You tell that Pastor Nelly. You're not going back to that church. No, I'm saying, you're the only gospel. And many of them have sat in church like I have sat in church for many years. It's not an Every Nation Brisbane thing. It's a gospel thing. You just need to hear the gospel of truth. Because guess what? I know by law we're required to wear masks in places. But the gospel relieves us of having to wear our masks in the spirit and feel like we have to perform everywhere we go. I know how it is. I know how it is being a Samoan and then walking into certain spaces and having people question the reason why I dress down in certain situations, right? It's because for far too long, there's been a power struggle where pastors and leaders have positioned ourselves and used that power in ways that hasn't necessarily, not all pastors, but sometimes there's been that experience where pastors have used that power for their own good. And I think anything that we can do to shorten that distance, which is why you need to be the preacher, because you have the relationship with them. I don't. I may have some words, I may help you along the way, but let me tell you something. There's nothing like your life being the greatest sermon, the greatest message that they'll ever hear because they've seen your change. And if that gospel is presented with humility and love, let the Holy Spirit turn their life around. Because the change and the transformation doesn't happen in accordance with my skill and my ability to communicate it. It happens when I just show up and let the Holy Spirit do His work. Won't you show up? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they're sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. One more time, turn to two people around you. Tell them, look, your feet need to look good, man. Your feet look really good. Come on. If you're sitting next to your spouse, tell them, I'll shout you a pedicure. All right. Claim it in Jesus' name. Come on, woman. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And I'm going to end with this thought, okay? I'm going to break this down. Because how many of you have read this verse before? Verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Any of you heard that verse before? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So how will they hear unless they're sent? Faith in God is evoked by them hearing the gospel. But if they never hear the gospel, they'll never start their life in faith. You're with me? So there's two levels to this scripture. And I'm going to give you 3 points on these two levels. So on one level, it's talking about the salvific faith or the salvation faith, that they will never enter into salvation unless they hear the gospel through your life, okay? But it's also speaking about your faith as a Christian, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Look, the gospel isn't a one-time hearing thing. So we're going to break this down, okay? The first aspect of that verse, verse 17, so faith comes from what? Meaning that it needs to be audible, okay? You need to hear it. You need to be able to hear it. It's not necessarily just reading, okay? Look, reading the Bible is good, but there's power in being able to hear the Word of God, letting it get in your spirit through your ears. Let me explain to you from this. There's an example in the book of Acts where Philip, who is one of the apostles, right? He's one of the disciples, and he's taken to a road where there is an Ethiopian eunuch who works in the court of the royal family in Ethiopia, and he's standing there and he's reading a scroll. He's like reading the Bible, and he's just trying to inspect it from Isaiah, but he doesn't have any idea what it says. So Philip had to come to him. Again, not a big crowd. It's just one-on-one. A man preaches the word. He basically takes Isaiah and breaks it down for him. And in him explaining it through words, audible words, he gets the revelation. And the Ethiopian becomes a follower of Jesus. He is baptized, and then Philip is taken back. How did his faith start? Through hearing and hearing the word of God. And so there's power in hearing it. Well, Pastor Nelly, you know, I'm not around you all the time, so I can't hear you preach. Well, you know, we have technology. What I'd advise you to do is listen to the Bible. Take time to read it. Now, I don't have my phone on me, but you all have your phone on. If you have the app, YouVersion, right? If you have certain versions of the Bible downloaded, you can actually play them rather than just reading them. And sometimes it's just good to stop, put your life on pause, and play the word of God and just let it rinse over your spirit. There's so many ways that you can hear the word of God. Secondly, faith comes from hearing and hearing. Notice it's hearing and not having heard. Okay, so it's audible and it also needs to be current. What does that mean? It's not past tense. It doesn't say faith comes from having heard the word of God. It says faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God, meaning that it needs to be now, because some of us grew up in church. How many of us grew up in church? Right? So for those of us who grew up in church, we have kids' church here, right? And many of them are learning verses, and I want to encourage you, okay? You should not stop memorizing scripture when you reach like high school or you reach youth. In fact, no matter how young or old you are in this room, you should continuously memorize scripture. Get scripture in your spirit and hear it to the point where you've memorized it. But some of us are living on the fumes of our 9-year-old self if we grew up in church. Like we haven't memorized or we haven't taken the word of God and really dug in so deep that it's in our spirits that we've memorized it. And so it's not current. Faith comes by from having heard the word of God, but not hearing and hearing from the word of God. And this is also why we need to be in community. This is also why we need to be a part of life groups, is that we get to hear the word of God constantly. Because how many of you know, we go through seasons. Sometimes it's easier to come to church. Sometimes it's easier to get around other followers. Sometimes it's easier to follow Jesus. But the moment that hardship comes, how many of you have ever been to that space when that hardship comes and there's always that temptation to isolate? Faith comes from hearing. See what isolation does, just like this microphone. If I isolate my voice away from this microphone, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. And so the closer I stay in fellowship, the more likely I am to hear the word of God. Make sure your fellowship consists of getting in the word of God too, not just gossiping. Hey, come to my life group. It's called Faikakala group. You know, no, it's not. For those of you who are not Samoan, that just means gossip. Or in the Pinoy's, diba? Chismis. The Chismis group. Come for the Chismis group. Make cuento lang. That's why we need each other. To keep our faith current. Because faith comes from hearing. And hearing the word of God. Notice there's the repetition of the hearing. So it means that not only is it audible, not only is it current, but it needs to be ongoing. Okay? Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. See, the world and its words are always ongoing. But if our revelation from the word is not ongoing, guess what gets imprinted on our brains and on our spirits? It becomes the word of what the world has to offer, or the word of the enemy, or the word of our flesh. Whatever it is that becomes amplified and ongoing becomes the word that attaches itself and burns into the screen of our hearts and our minds. Whereas God would invite us to a faith that comes from hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. But Pastor Nelly is boring. We didn't give our lives to Jesus for a show. We gave our lives to Jesus because he knows what's good for us. There's going to be times when it's boring. Oh, really? Yeah. Those desert places, those places where sure, it's an adventure, but there's going to be times when it's boring. But I would encourage you, take advantage of the time to be still before him, rather than just amplify other noise because we're bored. I'm bored. We all know what happened to David when he was sitting on the roof bored, right? He's looking through windows when he was bored. See, he was a PC user, not an Apple user. He was a PC user. He's looking through windows. And, oh, there's Bathsheba. You know, like when you get bored, the temptation is to start to look around for more excitement. But actually, the boredom is actually an invitation to a quiet place of being still and knowing that he is God and getting that word that is ongoing in your spirit, hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. When's the last time you were that passionate about the word of God that you had it so deep in your spirit that you were able to confess it with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord? See, if your faith is stirred, it becomes a lot easier to tell other people about Jesus. Luke 6:45 says it best, right? That faith comes out of your heart, right? Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth will speak. But if your heart is full of other stuff, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? Other stuff. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. So let faith come to you so that faith will flow through you. That's all I have to say tonight. Let faith come to you so that faith may flow through you. See, you may hear what I say in terms of us being sent and think, oh, that's pretty daunting. I'm pretty fearful. And I understand that. But the antidote to that is faith. And faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of God. The reflection question I simply have for you tonight to discuss and to reflect on is simply this question here. How is your faith in God? How is your faith in God tonight? Now, this is a non-judgmental space because I feel like there's different ones of us that are in different parts of our journey. And if you're in a place where your faith is not that great and you want to grow in your faith, or maybe you are in a place that your faith is stirred and you want to take action, wherever your faith is at, let's come in humility into these spaces of discussion. I invite you to ask this question. How is your faith in God? I'm going to pray for us tonight. And if you're here and you'd like to start this journey with God, or maybe you've heard this gospel before, but you haven't really had the opportunity to give your life fully over to God, tonight's the night. Let your faith be stirred up in Him. I'm going to pray for us tonight. I'm going to invite you just to close your eyes and bow your heads, and we're going to take an opportunity to pray tonight to receive Him in faith, whether the first time or first time in a long time. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for those who are in this room tonight who've been stirred by your Holy Spirit to come into a faith that is genuinely connected in relationship to you. You invite us into the space where we are no longer slaves to sin, where we are no longer isolated because of our ethnicity or because of our social status. Lord, you call us rich and poor, no matter where we are from all over the planet. You call us into a beautiful relationship with you. And tonight is that night that we want to enter in to that relationship. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to give our lives to you afresh tonight. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight and your desire is to give your life over to God and say, man, I want to start this relationship with God in faith, can I just get you right where you're seated just to lift your hand and say, Pastor Nelly, I want you to pray for me. I'm going to go for it with God. Anybody here? Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I just pray for all of our hearts tonight that as we submit ourselves to you, and if we confess our sin also, that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to hear your word, to hear the good news, because faith comes through us hearing. We bless you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.